Richardson, the running back. They give it to him over the right side. Dives. He's in. Touchdown, Trent Richardson. We've been looking right corner of the end zone. Throws. Touchdown, Jordan Cameron. What a beautiful throw.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Sweet to throw. He's going to go long. Looking long for Gordon. He's out there. He's got it. 10-5. Touchdown. No doubt about it.
And now, here are your hosts, Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagora.
So the Browns are going to take a knee. There are 13 ticks left in the football game. They are in victory formation. Torrey Gurley standing back at the 40-yard line. Let's see. I don't know if he'll backflip or not. But taking the knee was Brian Hoyer and Doug Deacon. That's going to do it. The Cleveland Browns with their second straight preseason home win. You can book this one to the Orange and Brown, a 24-6 win over the Detroit Lions.
Book it, Reg-Eye. Book it, Reg. I like it. Nice little call there from Michael Reg-Eye and with Doug Deacon on a feel-good Friday. And that's what this is, a feel-good Friday. Two impressive preseason games in a row for the Cleveland Browns, and we're going to talk all about it through this show for the next 2 hours. Vic Carucci with Gerard Cherry in place of Nathan Zagora, but you're going to hear from Nathan Zagora in about a half hour. He'll be checking in by phone from L.A., where he is hanging out with the Stars. And Gerard and I are going to do the grunt work here and talk about the Browns. How are you, Gerard?
I'm doing well, Vic. Very, very excited. Happy to be here on a victory Friday.
You know, even in the preseason, that matters to say that and feel good about it. And, yes, there are reasons to be concerned. There were injuries, and we'll get into all of that as well. Things weren't as perfect as the outcome might have indicated in terms of play. We'll dissect that, too. We're going to give you all sides. This is a 360-degree look at this game, at this Browns-Lions preseason game. But the overriding feeling is one of positivity, for sure.
It should be.
Right? As it should be. And we saw, and especially from the offense, which took it up a notch. Brandon Whedon raising that bar another level in the preseason to, I think, create some good confidence about what his 2013 could be all about. We want to hear from you. Call us up, 216-578-0850, 216-578-0850, to join us in the Dog Bowl here in Berea. We want to hear your thoughts, your comments, your concerns maybe about those injuries, but certainly your excitement, because you've had a lot to complain about for a long time. You've had a lot to wring your hands about. This Browns team is doing some things clearly in these two games to help perhaps calm some of those thoughts of, well, what are we going to see in 2013? Are we going to see anything worth watching? I think by far, Gerard, they've given us that much. This is a team you've got to pay attention to for the good reasons.
Yes, you do. And what if this team came out here and did the polar opposite of what they've done the past 2 weeks? What would we be saying? Oh, boy, here we go again. Will this team or this organization ever get it right? That's not the conversation. That's not the dialogue. The dialogue is they're looking good. They're looking much better at this time than they were last year. And that's the key factor. Last time I checked, you want to come out of preseason games and especially the offseason at the drafts and free agency saying to yourself, we are better than what we were at this time last year.
We went into this thing, especially before the start of training camp, saying, okay, you know, what are we going to see that gives us any level of hope? The off-season workouts, you have a conversation about those, but
right,
the public doesn't really – they're not seeing them. They're not out here every day like they are for training camp. And then it was in training camp that you had to start seeing some proof that the arrival of Rob Chudzinski, of Norv Turner, of Ray Horton, of the rest of this coaching staff was going to show us – that this is different, that this isn't just words to say it's different. You're going to see something tangible on the field that gives you that feeling. And I think we saw that in many ways on the practice field. Didn't see it every day, but there were definite signs. People came away with takeaways that this was encouraging. Well, then they go out and do it. They go out and do it against the Rams, and then they go out and do it last night against the Lions. And I think, to me, that's the first – last night was the – conceivably that transformative sense of this could be real. I'm not saying they made a statement that they're going to the playoffs, that they're going to the Super Bowl, that this is going to send five guys to the Pro Bowl. All I'm saying is you've got some evidence that it's clicking, that what we thought would happen with these high-profile coaching hires and changes would start to translate. It's translating.
Yeah, one thing you can affirm is that this team is competent, and they reaffirmed that again last night, because we talked about that last week in essence, like, hey, it's only one preseason game, can't let it go to your head. And truth be told, you can't let any preseason games go to your head. But what you can do is say, do we want to go out there and execute our offense? Do you want our defense to go out there and be dominant? Did we want our special teams to control the kicking game and win field position? Guess what you saw last night? All those things take place. That's what we call complementary football. And when you start executing on that level, be it preseason, do it in a regular season, playoffs especially, you have yourself a winning football team. You have to start somewhere doing that, right? And why not do it in preseason instead of waiting to week 4 or 5 in the regular season?
A week ago today in this studio, we were in here with Nathan Zagura, and the three of us went through, and I kept pushing this reality perspective idea. And sure. and a big part of it, why I was not as ready to be as excited as perhaps Nathan and you were, was because I was worried about last night. Mm-hmm. The Detroit game to me, and I'm thinking about that big defensive line, that front, and we saw Ndamukong Suh and Fairley, they showed up. Nick Fairley, those two guys played, and they were aggressive, and they're talented, and they're big, and they're physical, and I think Ndamukong Suh, I don't want to get off on a tangent, but I still think this guy's got some tendencies that the dirty tendencies that are
he has to take away.
But okay, I don't want to digress. So I worried about that. I worried that there would be some backward steps, because invariably when you're putting in all this new stuff, you take forward steps, you take backward steps, and then you hopefully go forward again. But we saw more forward steps. We saw again that standard, that bar being raised. Brandon Whedon now has us, a lot of us, I think, thinking that this is going to be a dramatically better year for him than last year. Still got to bear out. Two preseason games doesn't lock that, but two preseason games has moved the needle based on anecdotal response of what I can hear and see from fans. That is where people are going.
And they should go there. And let me go back to actually that Ndamukong Suh incident, Vic, because it speaks volumes of where this team has come from. 2 years ago, Jake Delhomme gets slammed on his head by Ndamukong Suh. I look around the offensive line, and last time I checked, those are supposed to be the first guys that defend their quarterback.
Right.
2 years ago, there was no defending of the quarterback taking place. It was complaining to the ref. Two things come out of that. One, are you really invested in this guy being your quarterback and you have his back? And the second, are you a tough team? Because you just don't let that happen to one of your teammates. How much are you guys investing in each other? Last night, when these guys responded back to Ndamukong Suh saying, you know what, you're not doing that this year, that showed signs that this is a team. Guys are invested in each other. And you got to look at those little things, because they do mean a lot.
That's such a great point. That though you're invested in your teammate in a what's the word? It's a personal sense. It's a personal sense that this is my guy. We're wearing the same colors, and I'm defending him. And yeah, this isn't about officials policing it. We'll police it too. Right. I mean, we'll let you know that you don't get away with this stuff. And that's right. I saw that, and I feel it. And it's back to that other conversation about bonding and chemistry, all right, those things that are very important. Okay. There's a lot of good stuff to say, many positives to get into. We haven't even mentioned Jordan Cameron's name. That's got to be brought up. A spectacular night for that tight end, who is going to be a big part of what this offense is all about. And we've talked about it repeatedly. Nathan Zagura has been all over the Jordan Cameron bandwagon and saying this guy's going to be the man this year and put up ridiculous numbers and so on and so forth. And I'm buying that he's going to be far better. I don't know what kind of numbers he'll have when it's all said and done, but I do believe that this is the year, because it has to be the year, that he shows why everybody was excited about this USC raw talent athlete coming out of the Trojans program, and then coming into the NFL on this team to show that he could eventually be the answer at tight end. And now he's embracing that. And last night told me, okay, Ben Watson's gone. I'm no longer in the shadows. Because he was, he acted like the little brother of Ben Watson. He looked up to Ben Watson. He was trying to follow him as a player and a person. And he said this. He goes, I want to emulate who this guy. Okay, Ben's gone.
It's a good guy to emulate.
It's a good guy to emulate. I applaud that. But I felt that I don't – I what I felt was he was deferring more to him. There's no deferring now. You're the man.
You're the man.
And last night he showed I'm the man. He showed I'm the man in so many ways with how he handled things.
And that's just game two. Jordan Cameron's ceiling still has not been met. We have not seen him run down the field on a seam route in open field where he can take it 60, 70, 80 yards like Antonio Gates. He has that capability in my mind because he has the speed and he has the athletic ability to pull it off. So we're just getting started. I wanted to keep him under wraps.
Yeah, yeah.
Now everyone knows about him, though.
Wraps are off.
So much so he got some people cursing on TV trying to figure out who the heck he is, but we won't get into that.
So positives. Now we cannot, again, go much further without getting into this. And there were, you know, when you're talking about an injury list that was as long as last night's. It was a laundry list and a dirty laundry list of injuries. Hated to see what we saw. But the biggest one appears to be Deion Lewis, fractured fibula. We'll see what the timing is on that. I know that's the one that has a lot of people concerned. My initial thought is this. He is a dynamic player who would figure to have a nice role in this offense, the way this offense could utilize that kind of player. And we've talked about it chapter and verse, what North Turner has done with Darren Sproles and having the complement to Trent Richardson, have this guy who can catch passes, have this guy with, again, that fabulous, I'll use that term over and over, short area burst, the way he can suddenly do some things and get on to defenders before they can even make their first move. All those are pluses, and he's dynamic. However, if missing Deion Jordan for any length of time, a third down specialist, which is really his best role. He's not even what you'd call a true number two back for this team, but he's a third down specialist. If missing him for any length of time brings down your entire offense, then you never had much of an offense to begin with. I don't believe this offense is so fragile, as much as I can't believe I'm about to say this, is so fragile that taking that piece away could undo it in such a major way. Right. I don't believe that.
And I agree with you, Vic. You can't let one component take away the whole aspect of your offense. And I get why people are somewhat up in arms about the loss, because you recognize that, hey, this guy is a mismatch waiting to happen against some defenders, and we could utilize that. Obviously, we wish we had that on the football field, but it's gone. But here's a part of the process again. As a football team, how do you deal with adversity? Who steps up? Who takes the bull by the horns in this position, the running back backfield, and replaces Deion Lewis? Because that's what it boils down to at this point. You can't go back in time and switch things. You have to step up. And it's never bigger than one guy. It has to be bigger than one guy. It just can't be one guy. And that even goes for the quarterback. It has to be bigger than him, too. Granted, he is a key component, but it has to be bigger than just one guy.
No, it does. And a specialist. I want to emphasize what he is. Brandon Jackson, I think, is capable of that number two role. I think he's moving more to the truer number two anyway. Mm-hmm. And I think he can do some things as a receiver. I really believe this team can overcome that better than maybe others might think. Now, we've got to see more with Montario Hardesty's injury, the overall depth concern. Having healthy bodies is something to think of. But you have Chris Obanaya, who is both a fullback. He's your fullback / running back. But we'll see maybe what this team has to do to possibly pick up another running back. Barkevious Mingo, scary with the bruised lung. I understand he suffered that on the opening kickoff. Got like an elbow, forearm or an elbow right to that rib area, and that's what caused it. So it was a freakish thing, as it was described to me. We'll get an update from Coach Rob Chudzinski later today on what that status is all about. Jason Pinkston, the ankle, a sprain. On top of the Sean Laval injury, yes, that adds up and makes you worried about the O-line, but I thought Garrett Gilkey stepped in and did a credible job as a rookie in his first real outing with the ones.
Trial by fire.
Right?
Yeah.
And he accounted himself very well. Gary Barnage with his shoulder sprain. We'll see what happens there at tight end. Again, after Cameron, I thought the tight end thing was kind of a shrug. I mean, I don't really distinguish heavily between Barnage, between Kellen Davis, and then, you know, we'll see. And Dan Gronkowski's around. I mean, if you had to get through the early part of the season with that guy as part of your depth, I think worse things could happen to your tight end depth.
Right.
Because was it really a big – there was a big drop-off anyway.
Right, because, again, you want receiving tight ends in this offense, and obviously you need guys to block occasionally as well, but more so you're focused on what Jordan Cameron brings to the table. But I was going to say this, Vic.
Yes.
You look at the offensive line and running back position. The covers in the pantry was full. Now it's depleted. So there will have to be something probably addressed in that regard.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're thin right now, which is interesting, but you came into the season so heavy laden with it. It's very interesting how the pendulum can swing in a matter of a couple weeks.
Yeah, it does. And we mentioned Brandon Bogutei on this injury list as well. I have to mention that he had a tightening of the groin.
Had a good first half.
But man, he was making a statement. My God, the second kickoff out of the end zone, if you measure it into the stands, that was 75 yards.
He actually kicked the field goal.
And 75 yards. That was Sebastian Janikowski stuff. All right, we're going to bring in Nathan Zagura, who is a regular on this show, co-host, of course. We'll bring him in by phone shortly. And you're going to hear from Jim Donovan, by the way, the voice of the Browns, in an hour from now. He'll be here about 2:15. We'll get him on the line as well to get his thoughts. He called the game last night, of course, for WKYC-TV. Normally, you hear him on the Browns PNC Bank Radio Network. All of that ahead, a feel-good Friday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, Vic Carucci, Gerard Cherry, ESPN 850 WKNR.